Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 19th on the West Coast, now October the 20th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We also like to welcome all those folks out there listening to us either on Wind Talkers Radio Network or on blogtalkradio.com, whether live or on an archive or a rebroadcast. It's nice to have you folks with us. We want to give a shout-out to all the U.S. military personnel that may be listening to us around the world as well. Well, lots going on these days. There seems to be a focus on a new story all of a sudden. People aren't talking so much about the flu pandemic as much as they are about this helium balloon that flew across the state of Colorado. And I think at the time we were saying it was probably a hoax, that this was a diversion to get people's minds off of what's actually going on, what's really happening, and causing us to look elsewhere, much like they do with professional sports. I also find it interesting that while baseball season is in the playoffs, getting ready for the World Series in a few games or so, we have movies on about baseball games. It's amazing that they just have to focus everything that you see and do on something that diverts your attention from what's really going on. What is really going on? Well, we're going to find that out with tonight's guest. He's been on the show several times now within the past couple of months. Many consider him a whistleblower, but he's a naturopath who actually has taken a stand against these forced vaccinations that we've been hearing so much about. And he has his own radio show Monday through Friday on Republic Broadcasting Network. It's called The Story Behind the Story. And that show also moves over to the Rents Radio Network for 1 hour in the evenings, Monday through Friday, and it's still called The Story Behind the Story. Our good friend and my good friend, Dr. A. Truat. True, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show, as always. Yes, I don't know if you heard my show today where we kind of dissected a little bit the story behind the story concerning the so-called Skinwalker Ranch over here.
Yes, I did. And in fact, I enjoy that topic. And I don't know if you talked about it just because you're sick of the flu.
No, you know, it's funny because it ties in. As I'm digging into this thing, I came across a paper by Mae Russell, who was, some reports say she was taken out in 1988 for exposing the what was going on behind the Presidio, of, you know, there in San Francisco, and of course the links into Bohemian Grove and this these child sex markets, okay, these sex auctions mm-hmm. going on, and some interesting names kind of cross-reference with that whole mess, and it ties in again to the DynCorp situation and that group in Hardin, Montana. So it's just funny how you know, when you were here in Utah, you know, you mentioned some names that are cropped up in your research concerning DynCorp and individuals, this Michael Hilton, a.k.a. 12 other aliases, just happens to be tied into the same grouping of funds and money coming into this so-called Skinwalker Ranch group in Utah. So it just seems like everywhere you look, these abnormalities or synchronicities, whatever you want to call them, just keep crossing over. So anyway, yeah, that needed to be set, the storyline told about what's really going on over there, and golly, it just seems to be more and more insanity. It's the only way I can describe it. When you know the DynCorp is not only tied to these, what do you want to call them, reptilian bases underground, they're also tied to this outbreak of swine flu, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed, they're tied to the covert laboratories that are doing this genetic alterations and producing these reassortant mutant viruses. So really, even though we weren't specifically talking about the swine flu today, Don, in a way we definitely were.
Yeah, it crisscrosses, I have to say, and you get the feeling, even based on what you've said, and I can tell you the path that I was following, because while I was listening to your show today, I was doing some research along the lines of what you were just talking about, and I was seeing things pan out over this past weekend. I'd have to say that I haven't stumbled across this. I was intended to find this. But it's really, really a powerful connection to the political side of issues. And there's one particular person. I'm not going to go into that in any detail right now. But I can tell you that we've been listening to Dr. Henry Nyman talk about how we all have to get our shots. And, of course, that's being promoted because of his relationship with big pharmaceutical companies on a royalty situation. And in other words, his company, the company he founded, actually stands to make a lot of money if they sell hundreds of millions of dollars of these vaccinations. So, of course, he's going to come out and promote it.
Right.
What I found is really interesting is a connection that that he had early on when he started this work, before anyone heard of any of these bird flus or swine flus or the vaccinations. Now, we'd heard of vaccinations, but this company actually has many established relationships where they make a percentage of the profits by licensing out their technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this with the majority of the chemical companies or the pharmaceutical companies. It's going to be mind-blowing when you see all this. So I don't want to bring it all out without a little bit more research that I want to have under my belt, so to speak. But this was another needle in the haystack I was looking for. Or should I say syringe in the haystack?
needle or syringe. You know, the patents that are under the DynCorp umbrella are quite amazing, Don, as we talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
You go onto the Patent Storm website or even Google Patents and find the connections and connect the dots. You find that the research into these variant forms of influenza and that are engineered and under profit protection by this paramilitary company. And then you go and one in particular caught my eye that kind of sent cold chills down me. It's a variant of of the virus that is responsible for the so-called dengue fever, which is also better known as the bone break fever. The symptoms of that, ladies and gentlemen, are just absolutely shocking. The fever and chills are so violent, and the muscle spasms have been known to snap bones, and the death from that is quite horrific, to say the least. Now, what in the world would a paramilitary company like DynCorp be doing patenting that structure of it's a terrible, terrible biological weapon. I just wonder what level are they going to be able to use that for a vaccine.
Yeah. In your research, and I think this is an appropriate question because it's always follow the money. I'm sure you would agree. Who do you think, from what you've seen, and I'm going to throw something at you after you answer this question, just to, for comparison purposes. Who do you think, in terms of a country or a particular bank, is behind some of this? In other words, somebody's orchestrating this massive organization that has an interest in the military-industrial complex. They're into pharmaceuticals. They're into food and transportation and security agreements and, you know, security contracts, I should say, and a variety of other things, illegal and some which appear to be legal, but probably not under the means through which they're negotiated or executed. Who do you think financially is behind this?
Well, a lot of the cobwebs and spider webs kind of link up Bank of Commerce Credit International, BCCI, which of course is tied to Soros, George Soros and his derivatives markets, but also points directly to the House of Rothschild. I mean, I think Soros and that whole group are just extensions, lackeys, if you will, of the House of Rothschild.
Okay. I would agree that that's very likely. I found something, I think, that actually shows something a bit more specific, and that is in relation to this Henry Hilton. I don't know what that's supposed
there you go.
To be.
Henry Norman Hilton.
There's so many names that are just made up out of thin air here. I guess, you know, we could say Captain Kangaroo, and a listening audience would probably make sense out of it. I should say this Michael Hilton, who we also know as Miodrag Doković, and Doković is tied. I'm piecing together, and I brought this up on some past shows, to a Serbian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Church in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right.
And the webmaster for that organization happens to be the webmaster for some other organizations, such as a realty company that the priest at that church in Cincinnati is a realtor for. This webmaster is also a realtor at the realty company. Sibsy Klein is the name of it. And that has a relation through the webmaster to the Bank of Bahrain and the Bank of Kuwait.
Oh, there you go.
Now, that's not an accident. And you mentioned BCCI, and what comes up are all the Middle Eastern banks that were affiliated with that. And then you have, you know, you think of the Bank of Kuwait. These people are operating with that, and wasn't there a skirmish not too long ago between Iraq and Kuwait that George Bush sort of encouraged Saddam Hussein to attack Kuwait? It was a ruse, but he got him to do it to give him the pretext to go in there and attack Kuwait, or I should say Iraq, under the pretense that they were going to rescue Kuwait. And since we've been there, there's been a lot of issues that have been very questionable. The torture that's going on, the mass murders, the use of depleted uranium, the use of neutron bombs. I mean, there's genocide going on there for sure. And it's affecting the rest of the planet. Of course, we've got something similar going on in Afghanistan and in Guantanamo Bay. Is it any accident that all of this ties in with what's going on at Hardin, Montana, and this loop of these people. You can connect them all back to the Middle East.
Yeah.
I think we should be paying attention to what's going on with these corporations that American Police Force has, because they have been saying that they've been checking out other cities as well. Hardin was not the only place this was going on.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. And we just learned also that the Montana Attorney General's office is basically now, the American Police Force has folded its wings there, have just kind of given up the investigation, which I think is very unfortunate. I think they should press on most definitely with that, because there needs to be somebody in power turning over the rocks to see where these creatures are sliming out of. But then again, you know, sometimes these attorney generals know that they really shouldn't go up against this 600-pound gorilla. They can surely make and break them, their careers.
Well, that could be true in a sense, but doesn't the sheriff in Hardin, in that county, what is it, Bighorn County, doesn't he have an obligation to see what's going on?
One would think so, absolutely. At least get this guy back to Utah so he can be arrested and prosecuted for the scams he's put out here in Utah, but that will likely never happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing the international connections, and certainly I'm piecing together how this is operating in the States, and I'll be ready in a few days to release all that information. I think you'll find it quite fascinating.
Uh-huh.
Because it's going to tie to these other facilities, as I mentioned when I brought up Community Education Centers, Inc., and Civigenics. Those are two of the money companies that are behind this. They're the ones that build these. And there are two participants that are engaged in selling the stock or setting up the bonds for these. And the fact that they put all that money into this and it failed within a two-year period, went into default, tells you that it's not that kosher, is it?
No.
Or maybe that's a problem. Maybe it is kosher.
Literally.
Yeah. Now, what are you hearing, other than more illnesses from these vaccines, what are you hearing in general, Drew, about the H1N1 vaccine? And are you hearing anything about the bird flu or any of these, what do you want to call them, the morphing of these viruses?
Well, you know, it's funny that the last 3 or 4 years you had under the Bush administration and Mike Leavitt, Health and Human Services, there wasn't hardly a week that went by and you wouldn't have a news blip about the inevitable bird flu pandemic that was being mapped and tracked worldwide. And isn't it just funny how, like, that's not even a topic any longer? They have their pandemic now, so they're not focusing on what I labeled a year ago as the biggest doggone hoax ever to be perpetrated and the taxpayers' expense, the so-called bird flu. But, you know, Don, I've said this a hundred times. I'll say it again now. The truth of the matter is this should be called the bird flu pandemic right now, because there's just as much gene material of the, you know, H5N1 bird influenza tied to this triple reassortant as there are pig viruses. So, you know, why do they just have to name it the pig H1N1 swine flu when there's, again, just as many H5N1 splicing onto this as there are pig flus? So you see, that just proves my point that I made a year ago that this whole positioning and pre-planning for this inevitable bird flu hoax was just that, a pretext, a hoax, knowing full well that the virus that would be released is a lab-created virus where they've spliced bird flu genes onto the H3N2 seasonal flu plus the H1N1. You don't hear anything about this anymore. From, you know, back in May and June, you heard even the CDC was echoing the genetic makeup of this novel A strain, H1N1/H5N1/H3N2. But now it's you lose sight of that. They're just saying it's the swine flu, H1N1. Really disingenuous. It just shows how incredibly stupid the American people have become. They don't demand to have these things brought out daily. And, you know, the mainstream media, I got to tell you, they are so complicit with keeping the lid on this thing. It just boggles my mind. I really didn't believe there was a chokehold on the national news media. I really didn't believe that, and that I came full circle just the last month. Sending out press releases that I've done concerning this flu mist program, where you, for all insanity aside, they're spraying this patented virus that's alive, ladies and gentlemen. It's not an antigen. It's not a portion of a dead cell. No, it's live viruses into people's noses, into children's noses. And doggone it, that isn't a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. So I don't know what to tell you. If the media are given the gag orders that they're given, you have to realize that it's such a high level, powerful group. I would say, you know, ties into these billionaire clubs, the Rockefellers, and up in the House of Rothschild, that just really basically tell the news networks what to say and what to report on. When you have a full news crew with TV cameras and everything coming to do a press conference and interview me, and then at the last minute are called back to the office by their boss, what does that tell you? They just don't want the truth to come out. It's so sad.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of the situation that we've been talking about over the past some weeks now. When you consider the fact that the media is not telling us the truth about what's going on, and then the media is being told not to report it, why do we expect them to start telling us this? I mean, we know this. We know that they're lying to us. We know that they're putting out propaganda. So why don't we, outside of these radio shows and the writing that we do mutually, why don't we come up with another way to get this information to the public?
Well, I'm all ears to figure out that. Just again today, I received an email from our group at the Pandemic Flu Online. This the major talk radio station there in Baltimore, Maryland, had contacted them for us for a spokesperson to come on a 2-hour show there, actually airing tomorrow morning, and the topic was is this pandemic flu vaccine safe, and why in the world would healthcare workers refuse to take the vaccine? So it sounds like a topic that would be great for discussion. Well, the producer of the show started interviewing me, asking me about the Pandemic Flu Online website. He hadn't had a chance really to go look at all the information we had there, but anyhow, the questions he asked me was, why what would you say to the to these healthcare workers that you know, why they refuse to take the vaccine? And I said, well, they are smart and educated, and they know what's best for their bodies. And I say, absolutely. Long story short, after about 40 minutes of these type of questions, and then me quoting the documentation, the MedImmune patents and the MedImmune vaccine circular itself. You know, when I mentioned that that I had these documents and would be happy to talk about them on the air and send them a copy, they got very nervous again for some reason. You know, Maryland is the home of MedImmune and also Fort Detrick and these research labs. He immediately said, well, let me call you back in an hour. I've got an important call I've got to make. He obviously called whoever the station manager and owner is. And then an hour later, just as I was going on to my rent show, I received a very short, terse notification, phone call. We have respectfully declined to interview you, and we found somebody else. Click. So there you have it. I mean, when you have, I got the impression strongly that he was searching for some inbred lackey who he could get on the air and just cross up with spurious information and make the anti-vaccination crowd look like wackos and nutcases.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't happen. End of the story. I want to see. I'd like to know who he has going on and how they're going to spend this one there in Baltimore.
Yeah. Well, I could give you some names from what I've seen. I don't really know all of who may be out there talking, but the connections that I see. Which certainly tie in with those who are talking, and encouraging us that this is something that we must do, that this is safe, that those of us that are speaking against it are nutcases or fringe elements, which is the usual thing they say. How is it that people who are against vaccines also know that 9/11 was an inside job?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is it about that information? Is it just because it's the truth? And the only way they know how to counter the truth is to attack the messengers?
Well, you know, this is interesting also when if you listen to my show last week, we had a man named Robert Singer on who had written some papers about what he classified the events of 9/11 as being a directed energy weapon, but not so much what Dr. Wood was talking about. And some of the documents that I vetted that he had written, I lo and behold, I came across a name that oh my gosh, was just, again, in a very small circle of the octopus, Michael Reconosciuto. His name came up with his history there. His military family background and the Hercules explosives manufacturing plant there in California, he'd actually come up with a directed energy nuclear bomb that was extremely powerful to the point where it could disintegrate steel. And here's the thing that we brought out on the show, and I'd like to just repeat it here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Dr. Stephen Jones and others that are completely on the bandwagon of thermite, nanothermite. So there were thermite particles in the dust. But come on, there's just not enough energy that can be derived to pulverize that much massive steel. You look at those pictures and post 9/11, September 12th, September 13th, after the shock wave subsided, the pictures from CNN and other major networks, you have a little bit of exoskeleton material of the building standing, but you have probably about, I guess, 4 or 5 stories of rubble on site, right? Remember seeing those pictures, Don?
Yeah, yeah. Some said maybe as much as 10 stories, but, you know, that was basically the core columns bent and, mm-hmm. and sort of tilting to one side with just a pile of complete dust, really.
And, so how in the world can, yeah, how can you justify where that the bulk of that solid steel went? If you have even the simplest mind, you should be able to figure out that the official story of the pancake effect would equate to, you know, about 40 or 50 stories of solid steel. It wouldn't in no way, shape, and form answer the question of what happened to make that steel, those steel columns, turn into dust. I just can't imagine the energy wave that would be needed to cause that to happen. I figure about 95% of the steel columns all gone into dust. Think about it.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we also had these anomalies occurring blocks away where there would be several cars parked alongside the road or in the street, let's say, alongside the curb, and there would be two cars that are burnt to a crisp and a car in front of them, fine, and then more cars in front of that one, again, burnt to a crisp from one end to the other, which is exemplary of some kind of a pulse weapon or a directed energy weapon that sort of branches out its pattern. It doesn't permeate everything in its way, but it follows certain pathways, and those things that were in the pathway were what was damaged or burned up. In the case of these vehicles, totaled, likely because they ignited the gas tanks as well. So you have that type of anomaly, and certainly those cars were not hit by any of the building debris. They were too far away to be hit by that, nor were they hit by airplanes. You know, how else do you explain that?
Well, just again, by way of connecting the dots, ladies and gentlemen, you have this Michael Riconosciuto, and his whole story there is in the online book. You can read The Last Circle, okay? To have him linked to this type of neutron weaponry and having it, again, tied into Veritas Corporation, which is the parent company of DynCorp, ladies and gentlemen. You see the links now, the DynCorp and Veritas. The software, as you reported so well in your expose, of the Ortiz group, you know, her husband.
Orly Tate, you mean, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Orly Tate, I'm sorry. The Oracle 8 software that actually gives the ability to these labs now to analyze the DNA structures and to recreate these viruses. See how it's all very a very small select group at the very top of the food chain. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. It's not by accident. You see the same names cropping up in as the main movers and shakers of 9/11 as well.
Yeah,
and
you know, you mentioned Michael Riconosciuto, and of course he had done quite a bit of computer programming with the original release of the Promis software and put the backdoor technology into that software package so that as they sold the software to different countries, they had a backdoor into their computer systems.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, and he's in prison. They put him in prison to keep him out of the way, certainly to not leak what was going on with 9/11. I'm sure he knew what was going on there. And his involvement with Osama bin Laden going back at least to 1986, the Hilton Hotel in Sherman Oaks, California, the meeting where Ted Gunderson and Ralph Oberg were there, and they exchanged that software, which was originally supposed to have been created for the Justice Department. You see, they're using that to steal money. They're using it to steal real estate. They're using it to keep track of all of these combinations of viruses and the possibilities of these deadly vaccines and all the combinations that are available, something upwards of 9 million that they can track using this software. This is sick. Why would anyone need to track that much?
And then, of course, we on an unrelated issue, we link these same names and group to this very weird story of the Skinwalker Ranch here in Utah. Okay, and then in the book Hunt for the Skinwalker by Kelleher and Knapp. They also have parallel links to Dulce, New Mexico, underground bases, which, ladies and gentlemen, are talking about the reptilian third column that is, you know, seems to be operating here on the Earth covertly. So there's no doubt in my mind, at least, Don, that this whole orchestration is not done by truly human hands. And that's what people can't wrap their minds around. They say, well, how could anybody be so evil as to plot the demise of so many millions of people, first of all, by sterilizing them through a covert vaccine program, and then secondly by, you know, unleashing these nihilist killer viruses, you know, which... waiting in the wings is a dengue fever outbreak, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first, okay? It's in the patent material. My goodness. When you realize they're not humans doing this, but people tied to interdimensional evil deities, it kind of makes a little bit more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. In fact, what you were describing at the Skinwalker Ranch, and what I know about that, way back when it first came out, I remember George Knapp on Coast to Coast doing the interviews, and I sort of tuned into that area anyway, and there is a history of underground base activity there, the black ops groups working there. In fact, all of these programs that we're talking about tonight are black ops type experiments. True, we have a call if you'd like to entertain.
Oh, surely. You bet.
A question or a comment. We have Gary from Arkansas on the line. Gary, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Your past comment there, yes, they have no soul. I think they are reptilians. They're predatory parasites. Anyway, getting back to the 9/11 thing, there's one person I've heard on the air with the theory of 9/11 that I don't think's been getting her just dues. It's Dr. Judy Wood. And... she is into the directed energy weapons thing. And the thing that I kind of go along with what she's saying is two things. Number one, the rubble pile for that tall of a building was not nearly high enough. There's an awful lot of mass that just disappeared. And then there was a lot of other phenomena that occurred, like the car turning upside down, half burnt, not burnt. One guy was levitated and moved a block. There was a double pane window with a hole in it in the first pane, but not the second. And she goes into this thing called the Hutchison effect. And she has a really good website, and I'd like to hear you interview her sometime, Don. DrJudyWood.com.
Actually, yeah, Gary, actually, I had her scheduled for last February for two nights, about 2 weeks apart, and she canceled at the last minute. And I haven't heard from her since.
Well, I've heard her on another program here in a recent month.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying
the idea
not
of all that
interviews. I just find it highly suspicious that she canceled two shows.
Yeah, the mass disappearing does not point to thermates or even a mini nuke, I don't think. But then these other phenomena, the Hutchison effect, which she described quite well on her website. So that's all I have, and I thought I would contribute that.
Yeah, she's promoting to an extent John Hutchison's work. Now, I understand that Boeing actually entered into some kind of a contractual agreement with John Hutchison, who is up in Canada, by the way. And basically, he's expounding on some of the discoveries, I think, that Nikola Tesla had made. And he's actually put that into, let's say, a practical use, which is being used under private contract to Boeing. So I have heard about that.
Technology. That's all I have, Don. Great program as usual.
Okay. You got a question for True or comment? Or
no, I just wanted to comment on that 9/11 thing is that I haven't heard her interviewed all that much, and she's got a couple of points there that seem to fill in a gap that no one else can seem to explain, so that's all I got to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks. Yeah, but, you know, I'm not saying she's wrong. In fact, I did have her book for the show, but she canceled at the last minute and really didn't give me a reason other than something came up. So
okay. Well, you know, when you look at the phenomenon of the Hutchison effect, it's just basically a wave of sonic structures of, which is really, as you know, Maestro is a grouping of neutron energy particles. I mean, that's what I was referring to. You look at the breakthroughs that Reconosciuto had. It's called the neutron A bomb, Gary. That neutron A bomb to me fills all the gaps in that's necessary. See, what is missing in this thermite study, and what is missing, with all due respect to Dr. Judy Wood, is the extremely high levels of tritium found in that fine powdered dust that blanketed Manhattan that fateful day. You know, there has to be an explanation for, again, the mass of steel that disappeared, the energy wave. I'm sorry, a specific directed energy wave, a dew weapon, would not account for it either. It wouldn't explain the tritium in there. And in all due respect to her theorem and the Hutchison effect, which is good, the only explanation to me is a combination of a Reconosciuto neutron A bomb, which is, again, the Nevada test site, I would tell Gary, did test of this neutron A-bomb, and guess what? The underground test resulted in a loss of mass of the particles of the ground itself. There were like 30 feet depression just collapsing. So it would explain the loss of mass. Most definitely would explain that. And the technology that he had in these neutron A explosives, they were compressed down to the size of a woman's handbag. So you can place them and specific points direct the energy inward or outward as the case may be, maybe as many as 50 or 60 of these, and it would explain the radiation going out to the vehicles that you mentioned, Don and Gary both. To me, that's the answer. Completely, totally, that's the answer. Now, my guest last week on my show, Robert Singer, you know, had some great ideas as well, saying that, you know, the Earth itself can do some things, you know, but with all due respect to Robert, the Earth is not diabolical. I don't believe the Earth would itself, as an energy living body, would want to cause this type of death and destruction. No, it's a human origin. It's a human design, a human false flag. Now, to explain it, I think that's what's happening. And all thanks to Dr. Wood for bringing the Hutchison effect into the discussion. But again, what weapon, what specific weapon would cause that effect? And for me and my money, it's Brachiotto's neutron A's. They fit all of the pattern, opportunity, yes. The people tied to it, again, the Verita Corporation, which you can show linking to the Port Authority and the whole loss of the $2.3 trillion in the Pentagon budget under a specific Dov Zakheim's watch, right?
Yeah, all the day before 9/11.
Exactly. All these things, yeah, there's more than enough opportunity to do this with this same group of criminal cartel.
Yeah, and you know, back in the days of Phil Schneider, going back to around 1995, 96, the Pentagon's budget was $380 billion annually. Mm-hmm. Where did they get their hands on $2.3 trillion that they could easily say so simply they've misplaced it? How does one misplace that large sum of money? It's absolutely ridiculous that much money would actually take up the space of one of those buildings that came down,
right?
Stacked up on top of itself.
And the investigation into this loss of money in the Pentagon, the investigation in the Pentagon was right in that wing where the cruise missile hit. It wasn't a plane, of course. It was a cruise missile.
Yeah, that was the Navy accounting office, in fact.
That's right. And then you got Building 7, which is where the SEC investigation was mapping out all of the transaction utilizing the Promise software finances. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing how this all comes together.
Yes, and there were other accounts of people that were working there with the brokerage firms a month or two prior, setting up the software to do these transactions, and one, Richard Andrew Grove, blew the whistle, lost his job, and that actually was invited back to the World Trade Center on 9/11, but he got hung up in traffic and didn't make it. Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting? And yeah, it's like Robert Singer says, and really has a good point when it's trying to demonize a set of people that they're implicated. We're talking about the Zionist cabal, and you're talking about the Bush villainy, but it's much, much deeper than that. You know, he had to villainize Bush and Cheney and the boys to set the stage for this abomination we have now in the White House. Without the shenanigans of Bush and company, Americans wouldn't have quickly been so eager to go with a socialist without properly vetting him and his credentials.
Yeah, so, well, the World Trade Center was owned by the Rockefellers. you know, Rockefeller plays into both events, 9/11 and Obama.
Absolutely. So there you have it.
Yeah, true. We have another caller. Don't mean to interrupt. We have Eve from California on the line. Eve, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment for True Ah?
Yes, hello. How are you guys doing tonight?
I know
we're doing
lady.
Good.
I know her voice. You better watch out for her, Don. She's sneaky.
Sneaky. Well, I got a couple of comments, just, you know, some things that I found out recently. A friend of mine just came back from New York a couple of days ago, was there for a week. He and his kids all got the flu, but he ended up getting it while he was up there, walked around in New York, and get this, as he's walking through New York, he sees on the big billboards up on the signs up there, the electric signs, don't get the flu shot. was one of the big statements that, you know, kept flashing across the, you know, the nighttime sky. But anyway, there was another situation that I wanted to tell you about when you ask about if you've heard anything about people getting the flu shot. I've talked to a few people in my office, and nobody in the office is getting the flu shot, thanks to, you know, discussion in there. But a gentleman told me just about 3 or 4 days ago that his friend had received a flu shot 3 weeks ago. And he, you know, definitely got pretty sick after the flu shot. So now he's telling him that his arm that he got the flu shot in is paralyzed. He can't move it. And that's 3 weeks after receiving the flu shot.
Yeah, I got a report early today that there's another pregnant woman that's paralyzed. So this has come up a number of times. I think we're somewhere near 30 definite cases of paralysis. True, any comments on that?
Yeah, there's a pandemic flu online, our website. We've kind of been tracking worldwide the cases of pregnant women. There's been 84 fatalities and counting, not to mention the disabilities and the paralysis. So, again, it goes back into the paper I just authored a few weeks ago on immunosterilization programs, and what in the world is the WHO doing, putting pregnant women at the front of the line by their press releases when the vaccine circulars, no matter which one it is, Novartis or GlaxoSmithKline or Sanofi Pasteur, all of them have almost identical verbiage that towards the end of the product circular warns very strongly, quote, pregnant women should not get this vaccine unless it's absolutely necessary. Now, what does that mean? What in the world does that statement mean, absolutely necessary? Either it's safe for them or it's not, and clearly it's not. It's not a good idea whatsoever.
Or does that mean unless they're holding a gun up to your head?
Yeah.
Have either one of you seen that 25-year-old cheerleader, Redskin cheerleader?
Oh, yes.
She's totally destroyed. It looks like it's affected her complete nervous system, even the sympathetic nervous system.
Yeah, we tried to get her husband on my show last Friday. He's just overwhelmed, and the prognosis is that she may not survive at all. It's progressing so rapidly that they're preparing.
There's a video piece on it, about 3 minutes online, and that poor girl is not looking good at all. It's so sad.
And of course,
that was in August. She had the shot in August at a grocery store. She got sick, I believe, and then, you know, she went to 60 doctors after that, and, you know, it's horrible, absolutely horrible. It's a crime. Well, thank you. Great show.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for calling in. Say hello to Adam.
Yeah, good to hear yours, too. I heard you this afternoon, I heard you this evening, and now again.
We have to stop meeting like this.
I'm a junkie. Yeah, I'm a true art junkie. All right, guys. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. You were going to say something, Drew?
Yeah, I was just going to say I've known Eve for many years. She's just a fun joy to talk with, and you know, it's good to have her call in.
Well, yeah, especially somebody that's paying attention to what's being said.
Oh, she's definitely paying attention. Trust me.
Well, she brought up some good points. I wanted to ask you, but I'm fairly certain that the adjuvants are causing, or they're most likely to cause the paralysis, wouldn't you say? Or is it that the virus is that lethal in some cases that it's attacking nervous systems in people?
Well, that's a good question. The official word is there are no adjuvants in this, according to Fauci and his statements. But then the question begs to be asked, if there's no adjuvants in this, then why in the world did the HHS and our government spend over $600 million to purchase adjuvant to mix in with it? I think from a legal ease language, the vaccine material itself has no adjuvant in it, but then you have these mixing houses, these packaging houses that mixes it together. So they can legally say the original vaccine has no adjuvant squalene in it. Now, it's like the verbiage used in some Chinese houses where they say no MSG added on premise. Well, okay, there's no MSG they add into it. There's no need to because it's already prepackaged from a Chinese manufacturing facility when they already make it with MSG. See, it's an absolute, is it a lie? No, they're not adding any extra MSG. But the verbiage makes you believe there's no MSG at all in it. It's those type of half-truths that drive you crazy.
Well, it's another way of saying, when they're saying none added, it's as if they're saying we got enough in there the first time around that we didn't add.
Exactly. Exactly. and the vaccine seed stocks would not have the adjuvant in it at all, but when they're blended. And see, that's the danger you have. You look at the case of this beautiful, gorgeous Washington Redskins cheerleader, and the news clip that was there on YouTube declares, "Oh golly, this is safe. This is again the seasonal flu vaccine. It's safe. It's not a problem. Don't worry about this." But occasionally you do have problems like this. Well, she obviously got a hot shot. There's like in any manufacturing, imagine a big, huge mixing bin, and then as you go through the filling tubes and the actual final packaging, at the tail end of the packaging, you're going to have some sediment collected, more mercury perhaps, or more polysorbate 80 or whatever preservative could settle to the bottom, and that'd be the last dose, you see, that's really hot. That's the danger you have with these vaccines. You're playing Russian roulette that you may get the hot lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this is not even the H1N1 vaccine this woman took. It was a seasonal vaccine.
Well, you have people, again, in disbelief that this could actually be going on purpose. This is sort of like, well, this is one in a million reactions, most people are thinking in the back of their mind. They're not really hearing the message. If you just look to the one document that predicted that this was going to happen back in 2006, and I'm referring to that document I published from IBM, which was an upper-level management document warning the personnel in upper management that there was a 100% chance of a pandemic. They said a pandemic occurring in the next 5 years, as of 2006. That one document alone shows that all of this is contrived. This is not a natural substance. Who are these people? Because they work for IBM, all of a sudden they're God, and they can prophesy what's going to happen up until the year 2011 in an area that's not their expertise. No,
well,
they
especially that's the whistle I was blowing back in 2006 concerning this bird flu structure. If you understand, the H5N1 virus has been with us since they started seeing viruses. You know, but God, whoever you want to think of as God or the Creator, nature's God, has specific computer-like firewalls on these viral gene structures. It's just like believing that a bird virus could suddenly become human-specific is the same rationale, Don, that says that a human sperm could incubate and form itself into a condor bird human cross. There's firewalls that protects that DNA from mixing that way, and the same is true exactly with the virus structure. It's because a virus is the simplest form of DNA, doesn't mean that it, you know, can recombine spontaneously by natural selection. To say that that would do that is absolutely ignoring the laws of nature. So it has to have, if it were to happen, it would have to happen with laboratory gene splicing by means of a massive supercomputer system, you see. That's the point. That's always been the point with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the H1N1 pig splicing onto it as a triple reassortant. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, can't you understand that this is not a natural occurrence whatsoever? So IBM and the computer companies that know about the inside, military-industrialist complex that are making this happen are warning their employees to be prepared. That's what gets me. How can you have this be predicted this way? Now, the USA Today article we talked about a week or so ago, Don,
mm-hmm.
Get this. They're talking about a new pandemic strain emerging every year. Think about it. How many vaccines are they going to recommend people take? 6 a year? You've got the article that came out by Terrence Tumpy, a colleague of Taubenberger's at Dana-Farber-Dietrich. It's called Resurrected Pandemic Influenza. They basically admit that they've weaponized 6 different strains of this triple reassortant virus. The first strain that they talk about in this article is a very benign, very mild form of just a little bit less than even a common cold rhinovirus. But ominously, they actually have viruses that they've tested and are proven to be even worse than the 1918 virus. How and when are they going to release them, under what circumstances, you see? And will we have, you know, more and more vaccines being produced? It's amazing.
I just want to interject something, if I may. I don't mean to interrupt. You know, what you're describing is just sadistic, sinister, evil, conspiratorial, mass murder of the highest criminal order is all you're describing. But that because they're introducing all of these policies through government bureaucracies and government agencies that aren't doing what they claim to be doing, aren't representing the interests of the people, but instead are aiding and abetting this massive hoax. I mean, you know, that we're even talking about this is bordering on insane, you know, that someone would be doing that to us.
And it's funny when you try and even talk with a semi-mainstream radio talk show, like the one in Baltimore, when you sent, like, I had an hour interview with them today, Don, and told them the exact specific gene clades, where they were, what levels they were fused onto the viral structure, the 8 chromosome paths, all of these were analyzed. I said, you know, debate me. You bring anybody on that you want. You want Fauci on? I'll eat his lunch. Bring anybody on at this radio show and debate me, and I'll take him to task. We have the documents. We have the smoking guns. We have the people involved, and guess what? We have the patents, and here is the documentation. Oh, my goodness. Do you think they would want that on their show?
Well, I think it'd be interesting to hear you debate Henry Nyman.
Anytime.
I'll see if there's a way I can pull that off. I don't know. I suspect he won't want to come on the show, to tell you the truth.
Well, yeah, after the Drew Raines show, where we announced the, you know, the Navy wives concerns, right? And we're still waiting for verification of that story. Nyman came on very, very strongly attacking me, you know, saying things that were unwarranted. So, I mean, I took him to task in some emails and sent them out to people. You know, there's a certain level of people that are profiting by this pandemic. You got the Rima Labels of the world who are just saying, give me money because I'm going to save you with the Natural Solutions Foundation. Give me money and donations. You have Jane Burgermeister that's, who knows how many tens of thousands she's brought in just because she's wants to position herself as the whistleblower that needs funding to file all these lawsuits. You know, but the worst of the worst is people like Nyman who are tied into both the vaccine royalties and also the tracking software to show how this is all going to blossom and bloom in the future. Now, come on. In the meantime, he's on the radio talk show saying he's, you know, all against this big big pharma and playing little Red Riding Hood and but he's really the wolf in grandma's clothing here. I mean, I just don't have too much patience anymore for people like that.
Yeah, I found that they pulled his interview with George Norrie off of the Coast to Coast site. It's just totally gone. None of the, and we're talking about a fairly recent one. It's like somebody left town, you know, took everything with them. You know, the sheets.
Well, you know, it's just so criminal and so sad. But tomorrow on my show, I got to tell you, I've got Cynthia Janik from Chicago coming on, and she's got incredible breakthroughs on research she's done on the Gardasil story. You know, with all of this hype about the bird flu, we're missing a really, really sad story going on with these deaths and crippling of these young girls on Gardasil. the links that she's going to bring out about tying this up to immunocompromised conditions will blow your mind. Now, also, she just informed me that since she started coming on my talk shows and being an activist, the IRS has taken a really strong interest in her and have basically nailed her with a $500,000 lien. And she said, that's ridiculous. I haven't even made a tenth of that, if I'd have made as much as they say I'm making, I'd be able to pay an attorney to cover it. You know, it just goes on and on, the attacks that the powers that be bring out against people and try and make them so fearful they won't talk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk tomorrow about this very subject. You know, the IRS is not about collecting money to run the government. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up. The IRS doesn't need your tax dollars. They have a printing press in the basement. They can make as much money as they want. And that's, you know, the bailout plans, the the huge deficit spending that's been going on since Obama took office.
Mm-hmm.
That's not our tax dollars at work. It's the printing press at work causing the inflationary cycles that will, in fact, bring this country to its knees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's just giving the criminals the opportunity to hypothecate more derivatives and hedge funds.
Yep.
And that's upside down and inside out beyond belief where that is. The amount of money that is out there is probably 5,000 times what anybody anticipated.
And again, on Wednesday, I'm going to talk again with Robert Singer about the Monsanto connection, which, you know, I'm doing so much reading of his research. I'll tell you, it boggles the mind. This man has got it together. The Monsanto connection going back to the same blessed people we're talking about before, the Soros connection and the Verita octopus. I mean,
well, it's in the word
there.
Mon, M-O-N.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Everywhere.
Yes, it is. It's an amazing interconnection.
You know, you've got Montauk, Mongolia, Mormon, and I don't mean like in Jamaica.
I know, Mon.
And I guess you could say there too, right?
That's it. It's a derivative of moon worship, you know, the moon.
Yes.
That's where it comes from, of course.
Yes. Well.
So let's go and bomb the moon again, shall we? Let's go and set up a nuclear bomb there, and so we can test that dust for ice. Let's sell that Brooklyn Bridge to a group of people too, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that little experiment didn't actually work out like they planned it to. If you read the body language of some of the characters in the video.
Let me ask you a question. There's a company here in northern Utah that actually makes the rocket fuel boosters for this for the moon expedition that's planned again. Now that they've bombed it and had these space vehicles now collecting the samples. There was an article in our local newspaper here explaining what's going on with the next phase of the moon experimentation. They're going to land another moon module and have people go onto the moon. But guess what? This is what blew me away. They outlined this moon mission. They have to ferry the rocket fuel boosters needed to get these payloads to the moon and back to the space station. They have all these this tonnage of rocket fuel boosters going there to be in wait for the moon mission. Well, that's clearly what they said has to happen to get a man on the moon now in 2010. Well, how did this happen in 1963? They didn't have these rocket boosters and a manned space station available for us to work on. I read that article, I just scratched my head, I said, no, that's quite a complex operation to put a man back on the moon. Why don't they just do what they supposedly did in 1963?
Or 69, I think they claim they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in 63 that Kennedy announced that they were going to go there. But I think they'd already been on Mars in 62. And what we're being told about the moon is really a bunch of horse pucky, I have to say, because we've already seen photographs of towers up there on the moon, and we've seen video of buildings being searched with night vision goggles and shot with night vision cameras, infrared or what have you. So they can tell us what's going on, but it doesn't fit what we know is going on. You know,
well,
I mean,
yeah,
this
it's a covert operation for sure.
Yeah. You think in 1969 when they landed on the moon that they didn't know if there was water there or not?
Well, it's they supposedly took some rocks back and some soil samples, but I guess it needed to be blown up in the atmosphere on the dark side, I guess. I don't know. I don't get
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Well, that's for another show. Well, Drew, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to encourage folks to tune into your show, The Story Behind the Story, which airs from 1 to 3 Central Time on republicbroadcasting.org. Anything you want to say about the show or any of your guests?
Well, we're just having fun doing it. It's good to get back in the saddle and do the radio show. We did produced one. My friend Warren Anderson and I was basically his aide and producer for the show. I interviewed guests and that. We set some head spinning back in the late 90s until our last broadcast right after September 11th, when we were talking too much about the facts of the matter, and the show was pulled. So, yeah, we're glad to be back on and exploring the unexplained and trying to make sense of this crazy world. But thanks so much, Don, for having me on and for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, and as promised, I'm reading your books, and I'll be putting some reviews up. Now, I'm quite familiar with Horrors of Vaccination, and I want to let the listening audience know that you've reprinted that book, that wonderful book that describes really what vaccinations are all about. And this was, about 80, almost 90 years ago that book came out?
Yes, in 1920, actually.
Yeah,
it was published in 1920. Presented to President Woodrow Wilson with an impassioned plea to stop the craziness of the mass vaccinations, force the vaccinations of our military personnel. Yes,
and that was before we have what we have today. Amazing.
Oh yes, amazing story.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and look forward to checking out your show as well as your next visit here. I think you're on again next week on Evidence.
I'll be happy to be there. Thanks so much, Don. You be safe.
All right, you too. All right, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Dr. A. Chuwat. You can tune in again next Monday on the 26th of October, and Dr. Ott will again be our guest. We're going to be talking about these issues and some other ones. Maybe we'll be bringing some very specific information forward. In the meantime, I want to thank everyone on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying Evident Footprints. Special thanks also to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow evening when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone out there in the listening audience a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.